Welcome to the Compass Church Podcast. We hope that you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Brake.
Okay, it's official. Michael is an idiot. It's official. You know who your friends are. Oh, man. Serious issues. I've been traumatised. All right. Oh, I'm actually... Turn the person next to you and just say, fire up a bit, will you? Come on. Actually, this morning I get to speak about one of my favourite topics, and that is the whole topic of faith. I love talking about faith. I love exploring it. There is so much that could be said. There is, and we're only going to go over a short part this morning because of there's food waiting, and I just saw the food, and oh man, it's going to be an even shorter sermon now. I'll give you the big tip. But Anna and the team are doing a phenomenal job. So when you do go out there, can you please just make sure you thank them and really let them know that you appreciate it, because they just do such a great, great job. If you got your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. And as you're doing that, we're in a series called Are You Serious? Are you serious? Are you serious? And, as we've been saying, people ask us the question from time to time, are you serious? Is that what you really believe? And, there's got to be an answer for that. And I hope it can be, yes, I am serious about, some of the bizarre things, if you like, the mysterious things that as Christians we're called to believe in. The virgin birth, that Jesus was God and he was man, that, it wasn't all smoke and mirrors, that it was, he did these amazing miracles, that he died to death that Sean just spoke about, that a horrendous death, he died and then he was buried and then 3 days later he actually rose again. And, they're big things that we're called to believe in, to have faith and trust in. And, the book being the inspired word of God, that it is God's story revealing himself to us and wanting to show us how we can connect with him and have a relationship with him, that this book is not just ink on paper, but it's living, it's active, it's alive, it's got the power, it's got the authority to change our lives. And amazing, we're called to have faith in this book and to live our lives by it. So there are many things that we're called to actually believe in and believe in this God that we can't see. And so we're talking about, are you serious, in this whole concept of faith? Everybody say faith. Faith. All right. This morning, we read about characters in the Bible. We read stories in the Bible. And I don't know about you, sometimes I read it and I just go, wow, that's just unbelievable. That is just so amazing. Michael's great message last week about Moses leading the people, 3 odd million people out of Egypt, out of captivity, into the promise that God had for them. And, you read that and you just go, wow. And then you just go, well, how am I supposed to measure up to that? It's like, wow, I see these stories, but how is that relevant to me? And I think as we read it, we're not necessarily called to do the things that they've done. We're called to be who we are in Christ. And we're called to actually be growing and maturing and developing in our faith. So it's not so much just about what we want to become or what we dream we should be or what we're meant to be and having this vision of our lives out there. But the question we need to keep asking ourselves is, what am I doing with what God's given me right now? What is it that I'm actually doing? Because there's no good sitting on our butts and thinking that this picture of a mighty man or woman of God is just going to materialize in a 12 months' time. But it's going to take work and it's going to take effort and it's going to take risk at time, or faith if you like. A definition of faith is belief, trust, confidence in something. And people have confidence or faith in all sorts of different things. Some people have faith or confidence in their own abilities, their ability to their intellectual ability, their ability to play an instrument, their ability to act, their ability to work in a particular profession, that they would say, that's what I have faith in. As long as I can do what I can do, then everything's all good. But the Bible actually says that it's God who actually gave us those gifts in the first place. Some people have faith in what they have. They have trust and confidence, provided they have this security, provided they have this many shares, this much money in the bank, drive this car, wear these clothes, then everything's okay. That's where security. So they have their faith and their confidence in that. And yet the Bible tells us that God created everything, the earth and everything in it is the Lord's, so it's not really ours anyway. And so it's all God's. Some people have faith in others. Now, in essence, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's good to have faith and trust in people, but sometimes that's misguided. And we have faith in people for the wrong kind of reasons, thinking that they're going to lead us or take care of us and protect us. But sadly, that people can let us down. The Bible says that God is the only one that will never leave or forsake us or never, ever let us down. And we could go on looking at the various things that people have faith in. And yet these things that I've just mentioned, how many of them are actually able to truly weather the storms of life? How many of those things can stand the test of time and stand the test of financial storms that come that, you know, we've seen on a global scale over the last few years and dare I say, still yet to really hit Australia with the significance that it probably will. Don't want to be a prophet of doom, but that's just some of the reports that I get. What about the health storms? You know, our faith in things or people or stuff, you know, when we have a health crisis in our lives where we're no longer able to do what we think we're just going to keep it all together, what happens then? So those things, how often are they able to actually weather the storms of life? And the Bible would simply put it that when we have faith and complete trust in Him, that everything is going to be okay. It's as simple as that. And if we're going to put our faith and hope and confidence and trust in something, the Bible says that it should be in God, as simple as that. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. See, I believe that at some point we're either on a journey to faith or on a journey of faith. And I wrote this, and it's on the screen so you can follow it. But for me, faith, we're talking about a faith that presents itself to us. It finds us, it seeks us out. It has its origins out of unconditional love that first loved us and is known as grace. And so that's the journey to faith. And then if we accept this love and grace gift, then our initial and ongoing trust and faith is a cornerstone of the new life we have in and through Christ Jesus. So what I'm talking about this morning, this, are you serious? This faith thing, this trust, reliance, dependence upon God is key to our ongoing connectedness with God. Does that make sense? It's not rocket science. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page before we go any further. And we're called to have a faith and a belief in a God that we can't see. In John 20, verse 28 to 31, it says, Thomas responded to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to Thomas, "You believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who haven't seen me but believe." So if you believe in Jesus, we haven't seen him here, but if we believe in Jesus, that's pretty cool that we're blessed. That Jesus is saying, hey, I'm going to bless you when you believe in me, you haven't seen me. So Jesus performed many other miracles that his disciples saw. These miracles are not written in this book, but these miracles have been written so that you will believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and so that you will have life by believing in him. So our faith, our hope, our belief in Jesus Christ brings with it forgiveness of sins. And then as it says here, that you will have life and life to the full. And my final definition of faith, I like this one, is a reliance upon a God known to be trustworthy. Do you like that? Reliance upon a God known to be trustworthy. And there's just a couple of things I was thinking about, ways in which we can grow and strengthen our faith. In Daniel 11:32, it says, "The people that know their God shall be strong." The people that know their God shall be strong. So we see here there's a connection between knowledge and an increase in growing faith and connectedness with God and strength associated with that. So it's an ongoing journey of understanding and exploring and finding out who God is. In Romans 10:17, it says, "Faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God." So this morning, this story that we're going to have a look at quickly before we go out and maybe talk about it if we're not distracted by the coffee and food, but I hope this morning will maybe bring a little bit of knowledge your way. a little bit of understanding of just how incredible our God is, so that you can have a slightly increased trust, reliance, dependence upon Him. That this morning, as I speak, and I speak the words of God, which are living and active, that something supernatural is going to take place between the time I speak and you hear, so that when you hear it, your heart and your faith is stirred. So that faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. Sound good? You up for that? Okay, put your fingers in your ears if you're not, if you don't want to hear it. But we're in 1 Kings chapter 18, and we've got the story of Elijah and King Ahab. King Ahab was a predominantly good king, but he did some silly things. He had a wife that was quite high maintenance, to say the least, Jezebel, and she caused him a lot of grief, and he wanted to do the right thing, but he was swayed and manipulated like some guys are by women, and vice versa. Don't worry, it happens both ways. Don't take it. Don't shake your head at me. It happens both ways. Guys can do it too, but just in this particular case, that's what happened. And we're talking about a famine was upon the land, and Elijah gets this word from God that rain is going to come. And we need to understand that when we're talking about a famine, a severe famine, not just a famine, it's a severe famine, which is quite extreme. And you've got to remember that these guys totally relied upon and were dependent upon the elements for produce, for their livestock being able to survive. I mean, they did not have the LG fridge in the corner, life's good. And when there's a severe famine, life's not good. Because they don't have freezers, they don't have fridges, they don't have snap-lock bags, they don't have Tupperware, they don't have anything like that. They don't have Coles online that they can ring up and actually order and get a delivery because, you know, that food's gone off, they get some more. No, there's just, it is severe, it is life-threatening. And so Ahab sends out some guys, and him and another guy go out to try and look for ways that they can find water for their livestock to actually survive. And one of them bumps into Elijah. And Elijah's making these statements that rain is going to come. And eventually he meets up with King Ahab. And I love King Ahab's response towards Elijah. He says to Elijah, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" Now that's a nice greeting. That's a nice welcome. But don't forget, remember we were talking about our series of compelling, not comfortable. It's about what people say about you, not what you say about yourself, that's important. And now, I mean, people will say all sorts of things, but when it regards to our desire to remain as men and women of integrity and we get slandered for that, you should take it as a compliment. It's hard not to take that stuff personally when people are attacking your character when you are trying to stand for righteousness, justice, and truth. Do you hear what I'm saying? But yet you should take it as a compliment. Jesus himself, as we heard this morning, had a betrayer, and we sometimes need them. But Proverbs 27:2 says, "Let another praise you and not your own mouth, someone else and not your own lips." And so it's not about ourselves talking ourselves up, but it's actually just living out, walking out the life in followership of Jesus Christ and other people observing that in our lives and making statements. And guess what? Sometimes those statements are not going to be, "You're the best thing ever." They're not. I don't know about you, but I don't necessarily get that a great deal, that, "Gee, Phil, you're just such a fantastic follower of Jesus. Like, man, you just do it so well. Good on you, mate." They're like, "What the hell are you doing? What would you do that for? You're an idiot." I don't know. Am I on my own in that? Okay, thanks, Troy. I'm glad you're with me. Me and you, the only persecuted ones in the church. But Acts 70, you, mate, I'll deal with you later. So Elijah meets up with King Ahab, and he's got this message that rain is going to come, and it looks impossible. And then he throws out this challenge in verse 21 of 1 Kings 18. If you've got your Bible open, just have a look at verse 21. Elijah challenged the people. "How long are you going to sit on the fence?" Who knows that that's an uncomfortable place to sit? Especially when it's barbed wire or corrugated iron. Did you ever try to climb over the fence to get a ball from your neighbour's place when they had like a corrugated iron fence as a kid? The ball went over playing cricket, six and out, and you try to jump over and you get kind of stuck? No good. And just not comfortable, not good, and it's just like that spiritually. It's like, you know, when we're on this side doing whatever, but when we're kind of sitting on the fence, not sure about the God thing and not sure about this, and it's when you totally surrender your life and give your life over to Him and you jump over that fence and you're just in God's God's world and God's way, it's such a beautiful thing. But Elijah here says, how long will you sit on the fence? If God is the real God, follow him. If it's Baal, follow him. Make up your minds. Nobody said a word. Nobody made a move. Things get pretty interesting right here because Elijah is now confronted with putting it out there. So for me, faith is not faith until it's spoken of or acted upon. Faith is not faith until it's spoken of or acted upon. It's no good having this belief system stuck inside your head and it doesn't affect the way you live. It's no good, dare I say, coming to church on a Sunday and being happy clappy and praise God, and then just like there's no change or there's no outworking of that during the week. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so it's got to be acted upon. Real faith will shape the way you think. Therefore, it has to work its way out in our lives some way. So Elijah here has made this bold statement, rain's coming, and then he actually challenges the people, the prophets of Baal, and he's outnumbered 450 to 1. They're not good odds. Not good odds at all. But do you know what? I noticed that there is this process, and a guy named Blackaby actually puts it similarly to this, but the process that we more than likely will face when we're wanting to step out of our place where we are into what God has for us next, or to grow in our faith and trust and confidence in God, goes a little bit like this. First of all, there will be the faith challenge, where you are challenged to do something that's going to take you out of your comfort zone. So whether that is to pray more, whether that's to serve more, whether that's to pray, read, whether it's to give, whatever that may be, but as challenge comes, the next thing that more than likely will come is a crisis of faith. A crisis of faith. Now that may result because you make a decision about you're going to make a stand for your faith. Therefore, you make that known amongst your peers or in your workplace or whatever. And then all of a sudden, there's going to be criticism or opposition may come. As an example. So, or it may be a spiritual related matter that when you start to step out and want to move more into trusting and being reliant upon God, that the devil doesn't want you to do that. So therefore, he'll try to do anything he can to stop and prevent that from happening. Do you get what I'm saying? So we have faith, then we have a crisis of faith, and then we have the choice. We have the choice to hold on, stand firm and take action, or we have the choice to back down and just withdraw and crawl back under some little rock that we're supposed to, according to some people, just hide under and stay quiet. So we have this choice. And yet if we choose to actually hold on, stand firm and act upon God's word and challenge and faith and dependence and trust in him, then I believe the breakthrough will come. And so there's this process that we're more than likely. You might be able to think quickly the times in your life where you've been challenged to step out and grow in your faith or do something you haven't done before, that you might be able to identify some of these steps that have actually taken place in your life. Because we see that in Elijah here, that he says there's rain, there's a crisis, there's, you know, he's got to deal with King Ahab's wife, Jezebel, who's causing all sorts of grief, who killed prophets already, and the famine's severe, and confronted with the prophets of Baal, it's a 450 to 1, and he's making this stance that God's going to send rain, and I just want it to be declared that God is the one and only true and living God. And Elijah right here could have backed down, but he didn't. He stood his ground, and the breakthrough came, and you can read that for yourself. And there's just two things that I want us to draw out of before we close today out of the next five verses. So if you've got 1 Kings 18 open, let's have a look at an example of this. Then Elijah said, verse 41, to Ahab, "Go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming." I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. So Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. Then he said to his servant, "Go out and look towards the sea." The servant went and looked, then returned to Elijah and said, "I didn't see anything." Seven times Elijah told him to go and look. Finally, the seventh time, his servant told him, "I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea." Then Elijah shouted, "Hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb into your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you." And soon the sky was black with clouds. A heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. Then the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. He tucked his cloak into his belt and ran ahead of Ahab like Usain Bolt's, faster than Ahab's chariot, all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. Pretty amazing speed there that Elijah's got. That's pretty impressive. But what we see here is this whole thing. This whole thing about faith, crisis, standing his ground, and then the breakthrough comes. We see Elijah declaring rain will come. Now, what we see is the first thing I want you to take out of this is that faith sees, faith hears, faith feels, faith speaks. In verse 41, Elijah said to Ahab, up on your feet, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. Did Elijah see anything? Were there any clouds in the sky? I mean, like, if you don't see clouds, I mean, I'm talking way off in the distance, it is very highly unlikely you're going to hear thunder or anything like that. But yet Elijah was able to see, not with his natural eyes, but with the eyes of faith, to tell Ahab, who had been fasting, get up and eat because rain is coming. He was able to see with the eye of faith. He was able to hear, because it says here that he hears a mighty rainstorm coming. He makes these bold statements of faith to say, God's about to do something pretty significant here. Habakkuk 2:1 says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me. Sometimes we miss that. I will look to see what he will say to me. God wants to show us stuff. Not just speak to us about things, he wants to show us stuff. And 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that we live by faith, not by sight, or we walk by faith, not by sight. So what we're called to do is not to be preoccupied with the natural circumstances that are going on around us. But faith sees, faith hears, faith speaks, and faith feels. It's almost like you just know when, like, God, you're challenging me to step out in this particular area. If you haven't had that experience yet, then I pray that you'd hang around long enough, because it's coming. Because God loves you the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. And if we want to be the man or woman of God that God wants us to be, that we believe that he wants us to be, then it's going to require some stretching and changing and molding and making, and that we don't end up being the same person we are at the end of the year as we are right now. Does that make sense? Yeah. So faith sees, faith hears, faith feels, and faith speaks. So therefore, it would make sense to consider carefully what you look at. Consider carefully what you listen to. Because I love being around faith-filled people. I mean, you know, when it comes to the things of God and wanting to be stretched and grow, like, I love being around those people that are, like, just challenging me. And I'm not too precious and I'm not too proud to go, you know what, I've got lots to learn. I just want to get around people that are going to inspire me and challenge me, that I can sit down and go, you know what, I don't have to pretend that I know it all, because I know I don't and they know I don't, so it's a good thing. So we can just talk about God's stuff, we can challenge each other and be in an environment where God can actually begin to speak to my heart and challenge me and stretch me. And so we see lots of things. I mean, depending on what we actually see when we look at a given situation. A great example of that for me is Joshua and Caleb. They were sent out into the land to actually have a look and see, to spy out the land, and so were some other guys. Joshua and Caleb went out and saw exactly the same thing, but they came back and said, guess what? There are giants and they've got, like, weapons and they're so strong and they're so mighty, but we can do it. But we can do it. The other guys come back and just go, oh man, they're so flipping big and they're just like, man, they'll just smash us. We'll be like ants. They'll just trample us into the ground. There's no way we can beat these guys. And so I believe we're actually called to look with eyes of faith like Joshua and Caleb. Look into our situations just like Elijah did and say, you know what? I'm gonna hold on to God's word. I'm going to hold on to God's promises for me. I'm going to hold on to his word for my life, for my family, for my situation, that I will see breakthrough. I'm not going to look at the situation, Lester, and say that, you know what? Your brother has been diagnosed with this or that and the doctors are telling us this or that. I'm not going to take that. I'm going to look with the eye of faith and I'm going to trust and believe that through his stripes, I am healed. And so Lester's brother is healed in Jesus' name. I'm not going to be dictated to by what a doctor tells me about a situation. I'm going to go to the great physician, the great I am, Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, and say, my God can heal. Do you get what I'm saying? So you can look at your circumstance and you can be pressed in and you can be hemmed in and you can have your eyes fixed around you. But God today wants you to lift up your head and go, you know what? Look at me. Look at me and I will begin to show you with your eyes of faith, and I'll begin to speak to you with your ears of faith, begin to hear and begin to see, and then I want you to actually begin to speak it out. Yeah. So challenge some of you in this place this morning that God, what God is speaking to you about, share it in your life group and be bold enough to put it out there. Because once it's out there, you got to do it. Isn't that cool? And if it doesn't work, who cares? We'll love you anyway. But why not just take a risk? Life's too short not to kind of like have a go. That's why we started this church and just went, man, it's a crazy thing to do, but let's do it. And I believe that that's kind of like part of our word this morning. I'm speaking to the life of our church this morning that, yep, we've stepped out as a church, as Compass Church, to be a particular kind of church. And the crises of faith have come, and I'm sure they will keep coming. But we're going to hold on to what God has called us to do. We're going to hold on to what God has called us to be. And we're going to come through it. We're going to see the breakthrough. We're going to stick to our guns. We're going to see the breakthrough that we will see this community impacted with the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ. So I'm glad you're excited about that, church. Man, I feel like I'm preaching to myself here this morning. Come on, get on board. Turn to the person next to you and say, fire up a little bit. That's what I said at the beginning. All right. I know you all want to get out there to the food, so let's just wrap this bad boy up. Number two, faith waits for as well as upon the Lord. Faith waits for as well as upon the Lord. Faith is patient and perseveres. Elijah sent this guy out seven times. When was the last time you persevered seven times at anything? Nah, I just want it now. And jump on my iPad, my iPhone, jump on the phone, order this, microwave that, bang, there. But seven times. Elijah sent this guy seven, waiting for God and waiting on God. Waiting for God requires our faith to wait on God. Faith forces our hand when prayer isn't answered. Just going through these because I just want to give them to you before we close. Faith forces our hand when prayer isn't answered. How do you respond when you don't get an answer to prayer? When you are forced to wait, where does your attention, where does your focus go? Does it go on the problem not being answered or solved? And so therefore you get caught up in that mouse running on a wheel of just going, no, the problem is there, the problem is there. Or does your focus stay on God saying, God, I'm holding on to you. I'm trusting you. God, I'm not going to let this get me down. God, I'm not going to back down from this. I'm holding on to you because God, I know you're the God of the impossible and you're able to come through in my situation. Where does our focus, where does our attention go because our faith forces our hand? And sometimes, I don't know about you, but there's times when kind of like it doesn't look like anything's happening and it's almost like faith is the only thing I've got to hold on to. It's the only thing I've got to actually get me through. Especially when natural circumstances look bigger than what maybe I think my faith has the capacity to deal with. Because sometimes some of the challenges or some of the things that I think about, we take on board, I just go, that's a pretty big challenge. And I like David because he got confronted with a giant Goliath. And this giant comes and he was big, mean, tough and just nasty. And anyone just wanted to rip David's head off. And David just stood there and said, you come with me with sword and spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of the hosts. And the giant had to come down. And the Bible reminds me that it's the faith the size of a mustard seed is all I need. Holding on my belief, confidence, faith, trust in him. As long as I wait for God and I keep waiting on God. And Elijah did that. He just got on his knees. And, you know, I love that saying, a man on his face before God can't fall far from that position. I like that. I want to live my life like that. That we just be constantly waiting on God and waiting for God, waiting on God and waiting for God because it's God's timing that is perfect in it all. So faith waits on God and it waits for God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, Lord God, I just thank you for this yummy food that we've got waiting for us out there. Thank you for Anna and the team that have just done such a stellar job. But Lord God, before we go out there, I just pray, Father, we could just take a moment just to quieten our hearts, still our hearts. Just to wait on you for a moment. Holy Spirit, I just want to acknowledge your presence in this room. Holy Spirit, you're the one that comes just to reveal how much Jesus really loves us. Holy Spirit, you're here just to guide us into a deeper level of truth this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you could stir some of our hearts this morning, no matter what we're facing. Lord, if we're in a place of victory and good things are happening, then God, we can know that you're there rejoicing and celebrating with us. And the only reason we're there is but by your grace anyway. And yet, Lord, if there are people in this room that are struggling and maybe got a giant in their world, I just pray that maybe something that has been said this morning that has been just cocooned by you, Holy Spirit, that you've deposited something into their hearts this morning that can hold on to you just that little bit tighter, that we would have that faith, that confidence, that trust, that reliance, that dependence upon you, just that little bit more this week, Heavenly Father, I pray. And just as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I mentioned briefly this morning that there is a journey to faith and then there's a journey of faith. And the point where that changes, where you go from being on this side of the fence and maybe getting off the uncomfortable place, sitting on the fence, into that relationship with God is called accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour of your life. That you accept His gift of grace, or His gift of forgiveness for your life. That God wants to walk with you every single day, wants to give you life. This morning, if you don't have that personal relationship with Him, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, to be Lord of your life, to bring forgiveness and peace and direction, you can't say that you're on a journey of faith with God, then today I'd love to give you that opportunity. And the Bible says that if we simply confess with our mouth, believe in our heart, that Jesus Christ died for our sin and for all of our wrongs, that He rose again, that He will forgive us, and it's in that instant that He will come and begin to dwell within us and walk with us, never leave or forsake. So this morning, if you would like to do that, if you'd like to join, many of us in this room have done this. I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm asking you to start a relationship with God, your journey of faith, trust, reliance upon God. If you'd like to do that today, no one's looking around. Could I just ask that you just raise your hand? And after we close in just a sec, I'd love to pray with you just shortly. If that's you today, could you just raise your hand? And I'd love to pray with you. Is there anyone here today you'd like to do that? Say, yeah, I want to live my life just being dependent, reliant upon God in my life. Anyone at all? Cool. Thank you, Jesus. Best decision you can ever make with your life. Not asking you to become a religious person. Just asking you to start a relationship with a loving God that loves you so much. It's got the best for your life. Wants it to be fulfilled, whole, filled with peace that's indescribable. Last time I'm going to ask this morning, is there anyone at all? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just commit ourselves to you. I pray that this week as a people, individually but together, we could hold on to you even more. That our faith, our trust in you would just continue to grow. Our dependence upon you would increase. Our reliance upon you would be just ever, we'd be ever mindful of that, Lord God, each and every day. So I pray you bless your people this morning. Just pray we continue to have a great day. And Lord God, I just pray that you would just bless our life groups this week as we come together to learn more about you and connect with one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.